What is authentic leadership to a world in which we don't have keepers, in which each human being is authentically free because based in self-sufficiency? We're going to be thinking a lot about that. What happens when our freedom is placed in the hands of keepers who view us? And you do feel this, I know. We are all feeling this. We are growing up. We are tired of having keepers. The issue is bringing that feeling into our voices, claiming our voices thereby as legitimate. Continuing with my little script. What happens when our freedom is placed in the hands of keepers who view us and the social world built around us with an economic lens? Recall, the state is abstractly rationalized. The market is abstractly rationalized. The status quo is abstractly rationalized, i.e., power is abstractly rationalized as inevitable, as necessary to existence itself. We have been stuck in that trap for many centuries now. Let's discuss it. Let's claim our authentic voices based in our authentic feelings of wanting to be free. So, what happens when our freedom is placed in the hands of keepers who view us with an economic lens, or when these keepers, the power educated and trained, claim for themselves the economic role of management to help yet another economic function, the proletariat? What are the political implications of Gramsci's words, if not that silences are bequeathed at every turn? What is defeated by utility speak, by advanced training in silencing? What I think Gramsci is perhaps feeling is that this what is called revolution is a song that wants to be sung, one the people long to sing to each other within nation, even as the newly forming statesmen fight to control us in his time, and for their own relevancy, for what they perceive as their quote-unquote historical role. For while the rigid categories move about fluidly, we, reduced to productive energy, find in the course of the heartless atomization imposed by power, find ourselves robbed of mobility, voice, and our knowledge of self as powerful beings, as we need these things confirmed commonly to have them. If matching voice to vision is our present challenge, when will we step forward to claim it? If the issue is how to find our way out of the maze, the trap of class, and I believe it is, and the professional left has never asked itself, has never in recent memory been held by us accountable to answer how they justify strategically their actions, explain how they lead us to freedom, how reducing us to narrow categories called economic restores our stolen voice, hope, and knowledge of ourselves as powerful. Who will step up and do these things? Only in big love, big openness, can we do this thing that needs to be done. What's key is to trust what our bodies say. That is reconceived allegiance. There's a moment in the film Educating Rita from the play by Willie Russell when the main character tells us that when she was with her family and all their friends in a pub singing songs, her mother said, "There must be better songs to sing than this." We all want to sing our own uniquely beautiful songs as nations, as individual beings, sparks of the great flame. And we need each other, all of us, to do this. Reconceived allegiance requires us to trust, to follow our yearnings. Big openness, because here in the U.S., we have the right, the codified right, to come together as a people and discuss if we are happy. Other nations don't have that. We do. And so long as we don't claim this, claim our right to discuss this openly, every one of us is at risk, because power attacks dissent clandestinely. And we have to provide big public backup for each other. Once that mobilization, once we begin organizing openly, it's much harder for power to snip us out one by one. Just as their tactic is hiddenness, ours is openness. We want to draw attention to this. That's our only protection, given the current circumstances of the class struggle.